arose and came to his father. But while he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Our meditation is entitled God's Hope for America. Last Sunday I took opportunity to talk about our country since today's communion and our sermon is much shorter. I was going to say to you that you can pick up a copy of that, but during the last service they ran out, and we'll have some redone for you, and you can pick them up next week. God's Hope for America is our theme for today. Our text, For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. Thus endeth the reading. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. We do indeed thank Thee for this Thy holy gospel, for it's truly about a forgiving Father who welcomes home a prodigal son. As we think about that today, and as we think about our country, Lord, speak to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In our Pledge of Allegiance, America says that it is one nation under God. On our coins, America says, In God we trust. But if that be true, America has become a prodigal. For it has taken its spiritual heritage and gone to a far place, that is, a place where the Father is not. We are wasting our sustenance in riotous living. America is not under God, nor is it trusting in Him. And consequently, in many ways, it's ending up in a pig pen. Well, that's the bad news. There's lots of bad news going around about America. Some time ago, Decision Magazine had an editorial that I want to share with you in a sort of paraphrase. It's about the bad news. It talks about some of the sickness in America, and I suppose it's true. The editorial says, Perhaps the sickness began when we encouraged a general disrespect for any kind of authority by urging people to obey their own impulses in the name of freedom. Perhaps it had its beginning when we began to hamper the enforcement of the criminal code with decisions that slowed down the judicial process. Surely a part of the illness came when we created a general distrust of law enforcement officers, or when we began to import vast supplies of drugs, made them available to the youth of the land, and gave them plenty of money to buy them. Surely our sickness was hastened when we divided the country into ethnic groups and then incited insurrections by each group with the intent to launch a general civil war. Certainly our sickness has been intensified by loosening all restraint on the entertainment media so that sexual license may be presented to the public in its rawest form. Our illness has been hastened by using the mass media to make normal marriages and relationships appear dull, while every form of adultery and perversion is made to seem fascinating and exciting. And it hasn't helped our national health to convince minority elements in the population that justice can never be secured by them through the process of law, but only by revolution. It hasn't helped to divide the older and the younger generations by encouraging them to distrust and to condemn each other. Worst of all, the editorial concludes, there have been those practitioners of quackery who have indoctrinated the public into believing that we have outgrown the need for the church, that Jesus is a myth, that Christianity is the residual of a bygone superstition, and that morality is doing what you please. Well, that is pretty bad news, isn't it? But is there any good news? As we celebrate during these days the birthday of our nation, is there any news that we can look to that is hopeful? Let me suggest that there are two basic items of good news. There are two things that give us hope for the future, and those two things are indeed God's hope for America. Here is the first item of good news. The prodigal son isn't all bad. In the parable of the prodigal son, we see the bad news as the boy goes steadily downhill, ending up in a pig pen. But there is some good news, too, because all is not lost. The boy is not all bad. He will come to himself and say, I will go to the Father and say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. Those virtues his father had instilled in him begin to operate, and the boy makes an important decision to return home. Well, America, in spite of all of her detractors, is not all bad. I'll tell you, a nation is not totally bad when in education there are more children attending more schools with better facilities and receiving a better education than any nation in the world. Now, I know that our school system comes under a lot of criticisms, but let me tell you, I wouldn't swap it for any system in the world. We're not all bad when in the past 50 years, life expectancy has increased by 50%. America's not all bad when polio, typhus, diphtheria, smallpox, and other dread diseases have been virtually eradicated. We live in the best, worst nation in the world. We're not all bad when in science we have developed a worldwide communication system. We've launched satellites to forecast weather. We've developed nuclear energy for the benefit of mankind. We've put men on the moon. Better still, we've brought them back. Space travel has become commonplace in this decade. Things are not all bad when more Americans own more stock in more corporations than at any time in history. America's not all bad when more persons are employed, working shorter hours, working under better working conditions, earning more money, enjoying more leisure, having more to eat and more to wear and enjoy more luxuries than any peoples in the history of the world. Do you realize that the way most of you and us, or most of us live, and the kind of homes we have and the kind of luxuries we have, that 200 years ago any king in the world would love to have enjoyed them? Indeed, our so-called poverty level is absolute luxury to the vast majorities of the peoples of the world. You see, poverty is relative. And you compare our so-called poverty people with the poverty people of the world, and they live in luxury. It is true that America has some pig pens of our own making. However, I'm also convinced that there are great qualities about this nation that have the potential for our spiritual restoration. So the first piece of good news is that the prodigal wasn't hopelessly lost. There were some good qualities within him that held the potential for his reclamation. Here is the second piece of good news. When the prodigal did return to his father, how did he receive him? Why, the father welcomed him with open arms. As we are celebrating the birth of our nation this week, a nation that has been prodigal in many ways, do you think God will welcome back America if we return to Him? Well, you know very well He will. That is His promise in Scripture. That if my people who are called by my name will turn to me and pray to me, I will hear them from heaven and I will restore them. So not only do we have some great potential for good in America, but if we turn to God, He will welcome us. He will receive us gladly with open arms. You see, our problem at heart is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem when pornography becomes the right of the free press, but that same freedom does not include the right, for example, to read the Bible in the public schools. It's a spiritual problem when perverted entertainers are permitted to deluge the home with their condemnation of all of our moral standards, of all of our family principles, and yet we're not even permitted to put up the Ten Commandments in public places. It's a spiritual problem when you're afraid to take your family to the movies for fear of exposing them to nudity or homosexuality or immorality. But if our problems in this country are at base spiritual problems, then their solution is a spiritual solution. What this country must have is a new great awakening. In times past, when this country has needed spiritual revival, God has sent a great awakening to bring His people back to Him. And what we need is a spiritual revival today, like those that have swept the land in times past. You see, our pilgrim fathers came here to worship God. That's really why they came. And this nation will have its rebirth when we pilgrims in this spiritual wilderness today return to the God of our fathers. As we sang in our opening hymn, God of our fathers, whose almighty hand, back in 1776, when this nation was founded, up east in Dedham, Massachusetts, lived a man named Nathaniel Ames. And you know, Nathaniel did something that was very unique. He wrote a letter to you and me. He wrote a letter to America 200 years in the future. And in this letter, he spoke of how America would grow and prosper and become great. And he said all of this would happen in the future because of the brave men and women of his day who would save this country and make it free. And as he finished his letter, written to us yet unborn Americans, this is what he said. O ye unborn inhabitants of America, when your eyes behold the sun after he has rolled the seasons round for 2 centuries more, you will know that we dreamed of your time. Let us also dream of those unborn Americans whose eyes will behold the sun when it has rolled the seasons round for 2 centuries more. Let us pray that there will be a free America then, an America that is spiritually strong. But such a prayer can be answered only if we, a prodigal nation, have at heart enough good qualities that we come to ourselves and return to the Father. Let it begin with you. Let it begin with me. As we strive to be God's people. And let us leave such a heritage in this great land of ours that we can say to our children and our children's children and their children too, you will know that we dreamed of your times. Let us pray.